If you're there with me now, say amen. All right, let's get started. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Go ahead and I'll get you to turn to the next scripture we're going to read. Psalm in the 42nd chapter. And we're going to read at the first verse. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. When the Holy Spirit inspired these scriptures in me, there was something that I heard very plain and very clear. And I wish that there was some other way that I could give it that would make it a little more easy on the ears. But to be honest with you, there's no other way. So I'm just going to give you the very first thing that the Holy Spirit spoke in me that started to quicken me to dig deeper in what we're about to talk about for just a little while. And that is that we as Christians have to know that it's time to stop pretending. I read these scriptures, and I pay attention at chapter 5 at verse 40, and it says, and you will not come to me that you might have life. But yet we read about all the things that as it was being spoke to them that they were knowledgeable about that was there. And he wasn't talking to people that were undereducated. He wasn't talking to people that had no knowledge of God, that didn't have any knowledge that Jesus was coming as the Messiah. He was dealing with people that were religious and very much aware about God. And then I began to read about this scripture that God showed me about how that we have the deer that would pant after the water. So my soul panteth after thee. And I'm just going to be honest for the sake of time, instead of trying to dance around this. We don't really show in our demonstration of when we come into his house and assemble sometimes where our heart is truly panting and longing for him. We come in with the knowledge that we know him. We come in with the understanding about his spirit, his presence, and his potential. But the demonstration of the man and the woman to have that longing, we're coming short. It shows up in how people can find any good reason to not be in his house. It shows on us that even when we get here, that we don't find that something to stir us to push on out. And that any little thing can keep us from getting deeper in the potential of the anointing. I'm talking about a stern look from somebody, or maybe a look that wasn't even meant for you, but yet their eye caught your eye and you thought, well, they're looking at me. I better not do anything. Or you hear about something that somebody said about somebody had nothing to do with you, but by the time it got to you, it was all about you. And so people, you hear these things and it tries to hinder you from being who you are in God. And I begin to think about what that meant to me. And this is what God gave me to say. Most of us instinctively draw back from dealing with this stubborn commitment to independence from the world, pretending we are all right as we are. It is much easier to pretend that we're thirsting after God than it is to face the challenge of giving up our commitments to the world and our independence from sin. What is the answer? We must ask God to search our hearts, expose our self-centered motivations, and help us to see just where it is that we stop short of panting after Him. It can be a distraction in the middle of the day that keeps you from ever hitting your prayer closet. It can be being too busy trying to be here and there and everywhere before you can find time to sit down and read His Word. We're not talking about things that even Satan stands in the way of from keeping you having the opportunity to begin to pant after Him. But I have found that when people are in a real struggle and are in trouble, you can't get them to do anything else but to call out on God. They're panting so much they can't get enough water in from the brook to be satisfied because they're so dry that you just can't satisfy it. But what the Holy Spirit was inspiring in me is that we have to stop just treating God like a spare tire. And we have to stop only coming to the brook when we get in trouble. What really demonstrates a love for someone is not when you do something because you have to, but when it's you do something because you want to. And when I begin to come into the presence of God, I realize that He didn't have to save me because He had to. He saved me because He wanted to. Jesus didn't have to die on the cross for me to give me salvation because He had to. He did it because He wanted to. He went out into the garden and prayed that He would have the strength to bear the burden of the world on the cross. The Holy Spirit come so that He would teach us how to know how to pant for the Lord. And I wouldn't give this on a Sunday night because you know why? Because we're going to be plumb full, and it's going to be easy to get in and praise Him and have a good time. I'm talking to the pillars tonight. How many of you are a pillar? I want to see your hand in here. That means you know Him, you're knowledgeable of Him, and you know you need to be doing something. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here on the what they call the off night. So let's dig in a little bit, and we're going to talk some grown-up talk, and then I'll be done. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And very plainly, I'm going to say, our own reasoning will lead us to destruction. Without God's counsel, we're going to perish. When you don't have the understanding in what to do on something, you've got to seek Him for understanding. Sometimes that means that you've got to do it even when you don't want to. Sometimes you're going to need peace when you don't feel it. But you've got to learn to move for peace before it becomes a need. You've got to learn to want peace in your everyday life. If I didn't seek for peace every day, I'm here to tell you, I wouldn't be able to come back and preach motivated week in and week out. If I didn't seek for peace on a daily basis, the things that happen at my job would be enough for me to lose my mind. If I didn't seek for peace for all the things that people gave me to pray for, I'd be so overwhelmed and down about what everybody's going through that I wouldn't be able to see it by faith instead of my doubt. If I didn't learn to choose to seek for peace, I would suffer. So we've got to choose to do this. You've got to choose to be a part of the body. You've got to choose to enter into His presence with thanksgiving. You've got to learn and decide when it's going to become not about just showing other people that you think you've got it together and start demonstrating that you have it together. It's enough talk, church. Talk is cheap in this last day. Or do you have enough inside of you to prove that God is real? Do you have enough anointing walking with you in your daily life that if you prayed for somebody, their mountains would begin to move? Do we have enough inside of us to push past the petty things the world would keep us down with? Do we have enough inside of us to take that next step? Because I'm here to tell you, what separates somebody that gets through it and what separates somebody that doesn't get through it is that we've got one that's trying and one that's pretending. One that looks like they're making a difference and one that's actually going out to make the difference. They're going to look the same. They're going to sound the same. They're going to pray the same prayer. But deep down inside, there's something different in the heart of somebody that's going to let God have complete control. So somebody will come up and pray and say, Lord, take this from me. But they don't surrender it. And then we want to blame the evangelist because we didn't get delivered. But ask yourself this question. Did you actually surrender your problems or did you pretend to? Oh, Lord. Oh, I'm feeling it now. You might want to come in and pretend like you don't have to praise him because you've already had a wonderful week, but I'm here to tell you that praise is not optional. It's something that is due to the Lord. If it wasn't due, then the glory of the Lord would not have been continually in the Holy of Holies. That means it's something that should be on you every single place that you go. When you begin to get down, if you got into a praise, you wouldn't stay there too long. My Lord, if you begin to give him praise for what he's done for you, you wouldn't stay down too long. Because when I think about the goodness and the love of God and his benefits, you couldn't keep a demon or devil on top of me long enough before I'd send it out of my way. You see, I'm done pretending. It took me, I'm going to be 31 in June. It took me 30 years of my life to finally realize I'm done pretending. So here's the deal. I'm only going to speak on my behalf. But if you agree with me in the Spirit, you get in on this right now. I'm not going to let anybody stand in my way anymore. Amen. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. My Lord. Yeah, my Lord. I'm not going to let somebody's opinion keep me glued on the pew. Oh, Lord. My God, I'm not going to let somebody's stares, glares, and opinions keep me from entering in to where the Lord wants me to be. Because if they're looking at you and not moving, chances are they're in bondage and don't even want to get in. The Lord is. There are people that tell me they want their children saved. But if you ask them if they were willing to go on a fast for 6 months to see it done, they may not be as willing to agree. And then we do the ever so classic, well, I just give it to the Lord. He'll deal with them. I believe the Lord wants to hear from you every now and then and not just throw it at somebody. I don't like it when my boss at work just throws something at me and gives me no guidance on it and says, here, you take it. And then when I try to produce the results and it's not what he wants, I'm thinking, well, you should have talked to me about it first. If God wants to know the desires of our heart and we have not because we ask not, that tells me we need to be talking to God every single day. Because you can't come in and not pray and then try to get in with some half-hearted prayer. Because a half-hearted prayer is not going to bring true peace. A half-hearted song's not going to bring and usher in that peace and anointing and Holy Spirit to begin to bring in that unity like we were feeling tonight. Half-heartedness ain't going to cut it. You got to be all in. Look over at your neighbor and say, we got to be all in on this. And some of you might think, well, brother, I'm all in. I'm here, aren't I? I put on the clothes to be here. I brought my Bible with me. I tithe and you're offering plate. I'm all in. But friend, oh Lord, if you're not praying and you're not calling out for the things that are not as though they are, if you're not claiming things by faith, then works without faith mixed with it doesn't prosper anything. Because at the end of the day, when you just do works and things, it's going to wear you out and you're going to be discontent in your walk with God. There has to be hope and faith mixed inside of you that makes it not just something that you got to fake it to make it, but you'll come in and know that you're going to make it and not worry about what others would say about you. There are people that shout, Lord, Lord, that God will not know. I'm not going to be in that number. If I know of him and he says his spirit is in me, then I receive it. If he said that we have spiritual gifts to use, and I know that it's in there, I'm going to use it. That doesn't mean everybody around you is going to use it. And guess what? That doesn't mean everybody around you is going to enjoy you using it. I have had people that harp on me the most when life is the best. They literally will drain the life out of you because they're not enjoying theirs. So if they can get your joy out of you, then they feel better somehow. But that's a false sense of hope. They don't feel any better. They're in the same condition. What my fear is, church, if we don't become more aware of his presence in the sanctuary and more aware of waging spiritual warfare, then we'll have more people coming in and pretending than we will that will be legitimate. And then you'll have a whole house full that's going to shout the house down, but you couldn't save one. Then you'll have a whole house full, and they'll be speaking in tongues, but it won't prosper anything. Why are you going on this, brother? Because there's only one way to the Father. One way. And unless we receive that way, we're not taking the way that God told us to take. And he said any other way was be considered as what? A thief and a robber. So that means if you are set free from your sin, that you must actually be free from your sin and live your life like you're free from sin. That temptations, that you're able to rebuke them and put them to the side. We cannot say we're free from sin and we have God, but are still hindered by the same things we were when we said that we got to know God. Would you be startled to know that in random polls they give across churches in America that at least 10% of people that are church-going people don't even know if they're really saved or not? Would you be startled to know that in the same polls that some people aren't really even aware of the purpose of the Holy Spirit? You know what that tells me? That we have a whole lot of things that take the appearance of God. The scripture calls it a form of godliness. We take on a form of godliness, but what? Deny the power. Because here's what happens when you're anointed with power. You become somebody that doesn't doubt in yourself, but you begin to be the aggressor. You stop worrying about all the things that you're hearing and people saying. And you begin to launch out and say, in spite of what they say, I believe you, God. In spite of what's going on around me, I believe you, God. I wish that I can get into somebody's spirit tonight. That if you begin to be the aggressor with your faith and stop just being passive and reactionary to things that only happen and cause you to call out when you're in trouble, then you'll begin to want to call out for him instead of only calling to him just when you need him. You don't wait for affection in a marriage just when you need it. It feels the best when somebody does it because they want to be affectionate. And while it's good that we have a praise team and while it's good that we encourage people to do, there should not have to be a need to do that. The day has come where we have to, but there shouldn't be a need for that. Truthfully, we should be doing enough in our daily living that when we arrive to this place, that we only come to achieve the common purpose of building the kingdom of heaven. But this sanctuary, sanctuaries across the nation, is becoming a dwelling place for the world instead of the Lord. Church is hiring people to sing, even though they're not anointed of God. Church is hiring educated ministers to preach, even though they don't have an ounce of charity or love inside of their heart. It's just another job. It's just another thing. And without that desire and wanting to do something, then it's just another civil gathering. And when it's just another civil gathering and there's not an anointing of God or an order by the Holy Spirit, that's when you get division. That's when you get a difference of opinion. That's when you get people coming against the leadership of the church. That's when you begin to get people that say, we don't need that person anymore. Let's get somebody else and that'll fix the situation. But I don't believe God ever sent anybody anywhere just to tear something apart. He sends people places to build it up and put them together. Jesus said, tear down this temple, in 3 days I'll build it up again. So I'm tired of pretending. And I'm declaring today to you that if I've never lived before, I'm going to start living now. Do you know why? Are you going to change your daily routine? Not by much. But I am going to make more time to let God in. It is not enough just for twice a week. It is not just to wait to come in here to feel Him. I can't stress this enough. The day may come where this building won't be here. The day may come where they say, you no longer have the right to worship openly in your belief. If they're already beheading Christians, there's already a hatred for Christianity. If there are already politicians that are separating God out of our nation and what founded us, then the day's going to come where we'll be persecuted just like they were in the days of old. And I'll tell you, if you're just pretending, it'll be real easy to quit. Oh, the first little thing that comes against you, you'll bet, well, I only go every now and then. And I mean, I go because my wife wants me to go. I go because that preacher's my good friend, and I wouldn't want to make him mad if I didn't show up. Then I begin to hear these real questions in my spirit. Here's what God was beginning to ask me. Do you long to be in my presence? Do you long to make a difference? And truthfully, as I examined myself, I found many parts of me that can be better. Number one, I've got to learn to be in complete unity every time I come in the door. That means tiredness has no place. That means slothfulness, distractions, you've got to leave them out of your way in order to come together. Because He didn't call this assembly together just to build another building. He didn't call us to build two more after that one. Buildings are wonderful, and it's nice to have a bigger place to go. But what good does it do to have a bigger place to go if we don't have a bigger faith? Because if we were actually measured by God to show how much faith we really had, sometimes we'd be scared of just how sad that it was when we make our effort to try our best. Sometimes I've tried my hardest and not felt a thing. But then as I begin to seek Him more past my issues, He begins to show me, where were you then? And where were you here? When your attitude begins to flare up, where's your heart then? When people begin to come against you, where is your longing to be in His presence then? I like the illustration that it talks about water, because water is one of the only things that you have to live and be sustained. And the illustration is alluding to the fact that without Him in our lives, that over time, we're going to perish. Have you ever wondered that if God ever built a church, why it would ever have its doors closed? Have you ever wondered why you saw a church in its heyday once go from 200 to nothing? Have you ever wondered why churches that get up and be the mega millions churches have scandals infiltrate inside of them that they don't see coming? Because over time, as you begin to let worldly things infiltrate inside of the church, then decisions and things begin to happen that aren't according to the will of God. And as you begin to really need God to shake up the foundation and bring things to order, our hearts are far from longing to pray for those things. I would not be standing here today if somebody had not prayed and fasted for me, even when they didn't see me. And there are people out there right now that need you to stand up and not be afraid anymore. They need you to not pretend any longer. It needs to be more about actually praying than making sure they know that you're praying for them. It needs to be more of a serious business in our lives to accomplish His purpose for us than it does for our own agenda. I would go as far as to say that if it was going to hinder your Christian walk at some point because you had to go mow the grass instead of pray, I say let the grass grow. Hire a landscaper. If it's going to keep you too tired to stay up and watch your show at night, either put it on DVR or give it up. If it's going to keep you too tired being at church by snacking and eating a great big meal, and then when you get here, you just want to go to bed, hold your meal off till you get home. If there's going to be things that are in front of you that keep you from being who you really are in God, that only cause you to try to be what looks like the appearance of God, then we've got to evaluate what that is. That means if we're not getting enough rest at night, we need to start resting more. And if we're confused more often than we have peace, we need to be praying more. And if we're confused about what the Lord would have us to do in a situation, we need to begin to read more. I'm here to tell you that I go through at least 2 to 3 hours of reading a week. You thought I was going to say praying, but I said reading. I can't even begin to tell you the amount of time that I begin to pray. Sometimes I meditate. Sometimes I pray openly. Sometimes I see something on the news that breaks my heart and I just immediately say, God, go out to where it is and help them. Sometimes I'm on the phone with somebody and they just keep saying doubt, doubt, doubt. And in my mind, I'm praying for them right then, trying to find the words to say and encourage them. Oh, my Lord and my God, I wish that I could break through the surface tonight, but you've got to choose to want this word. And I'm here to tell you right now that God has been speaking about the storms to come. And I don't know if I'm the early adopter of that word, but I've already been going through the fire. And I've learned that unless I'm going to be truly sincere 24/7, 365 days a year, unless I'm willing to give God my whole heart 100% of the way instead of only letting Him have what I'm willing to let Him have, unless I'm willing to do a full, entire, complete surrender to Him, then when I need things to move, I don't see them change. I'm going to keep reading tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20 and 21 says, but I say that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. We cannot pretend to be one way and then actually be another. There is no middle ground. You're either free from your sins and fighting temptation, or you are in bondage and fighting to pretend like you're free. You're either a wholehearted believer in the Holy Ghost and know that it's in you, or you're somebody that's just trying to prove that you have enough. If it's in you, it should be evident. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. If it's in you, it should be outward to you. He put it inward so that it would be outward. He has blessed you inwardly so that you can demonstrate outwardly. He has brought us together in this place so that we can show out for the Lord, because He wants the world to see. He wants the world to hear. He wants people to bear witness of the testimony of God's people. He wants the world to hear the prayers of God's children. He wants the world to know that God is not dead. He wants the world to see through how we live, how we bless, how we don't give up, that God is alive and well. And I'm here to tell you, friend, unless you're willing to get all the way in, you're going to miss out on what God has for you. James chapter 3, verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't fight to prove that you were something that you were not. Don't lie against the truth of who you are. It is better to fight our demons and face them than it is to try and hide from the view of others.